Welcome to this episode of Sound Bites, a podcast series produced by the National Psoriasis Foundation, the nation's leading organization for individuals living with psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. In each episode, someone who lives with psoriatic disease, a loved one, or an expert will share insights with you on living well. If you like what you hear today, please subscribe to our podcast and join us every month at Soundbites for more insights on understanding, managing, and thriving with psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kaylee Welch, and I'll be your moderator for today's episode. As a volunteer with the one-to-one program at the National Psoriasis Foundation and as someone who has psoriasis, I'm so excited to be here with Youth Ambassadors Emmy, Zoe, and Mandy to hear how they've met the unique challenges of living with psoriasis while making the huge transition to college and assuming responsibility for their own treatment and medical care. Let's hear what tips and inspiration they can offer you, our listeners. Welcome, Emmy, Zoe, and Mandy. It is such a pleasure having you here on Soundbite. So before we start, I'd like to learn a little bit more about each of you. Could you please share your story about how long you've been diagnosed with psoriasis and how you first felt about the diagnosis compared to how you feel now? Emmy, let's go ahead and start with you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Emmy. I'm super excited to be here on the Soundbites podcast. I am the lead youth ambassador for the National Psoriasis Foundation, so I'm really grateful for this opportunity to be able to share my story with anyone who listens. I was diagnosed with psoriasis whenever I was 12 years old. I started showing symptoms at age 7. However, like many people who are diagnosed with psoriasis, my symptoms were not treated for 5 years until I finally saw an actual dermatologist and they diagnosed me with psoriasis. So I was in 7th grade when I was diagnosed, and since then I've been on 4 separate biologic treatments and 2 oral treatments, along with all the topicals that come with that. And it's been a very long journey to get to where I'm at, but I am currently on a biologic medication that does work for me. So I'm super grateful that I've been able to almost recover. It feels like I should say recover in the way that I have. So in the beginning, whenever I was diagnosed, it was definitely a shock to me. It's not hereditary for me, so no members of my family had psoriasis or psoriatic disease before me. So it was a big change in how I managed my health. And compared to now, I feel very responsible in regards to how I manage my psoriatic disease and how I continue to spread awareness with the foundation. So I found my voice through being a part of NPF, and I'm super grateful to be able to have opportunities like this to reach out to people who understand what I'm going through. So thank you for having me.
We are so happy that you are here. Thank you for sharing. Zoe, why don't we go to you next?
Hi, everyone. I'm Zoe. I've been a part of NPF since my diagnosis. I became a youth ambassador in 2015, so I've been around for a while. I was originally diagnosed with psoriasis back in 2013 at the age of 11. But as Emmy also said, I was also someone that was not diagnosed on time. I showed symptoms starting at the age 5 or 6. So I've had quite of an experience with it. I've been on as many medications. Growing up, it's hard to find a medication that works for you as you are growing, your body is changing and all that. So I really struggled with treating it as I grew up. But as I got older, I was able to find medications that worked for me, able to manage it better, finding resources through NPF, actually going to events and meeting people and just being in a nice environment that NPF is really helped me as I got older and transitioning, getting more mature. And so, yeah, it's a big change.
Oh, for sure. Well, thank you so much for sharing, and we're so happy you could join us. Mandy, tell us your story. Who are you?
Hello, guys. My name is Mandy. I am currently a first-year nursing science major at the University of California, Irvine. And so for my psoriasis diagnosis, around like middle school, I had dandruff symptoms, which I assumed it was just normal dandruff. And that was what my primary care doctor assumed. So we tried the normal dandruff treatments. However, none of that ended up working. So my symptoms ended up getting worse, and then I ended up getting plaques on my skin. So that's when my primary care doctor eventually referred me to my dermatologist. And then I was officially diagnosed with psoriasis around 7th grade. So I've been experimenting a lot with phototherapy and a lot of topical treatments over the course of high school. And that was when my psoriasis definitely had a lot of drastic changes and spread around my body pretty rapidly. There was a lot on my legs, my arms, my scalp, and even my nails as well. So around quarantine, that was when I would say my mental health kind of declined, because I'm a very extroverted person, so I like interacting with a lot of my friends. So that was a very difficult time for me. And especially with that stress, that made my psoriasis a lot worse. So I eventually started biologics around my junior year, which I would say is 2022. So that was when I noticed big drastic changes in my psoriasis plaques. And I've been getting on the path to clearness. As of now, I'm switching over to my second biological treatment next month, and my psoriasis plaques have been resurging a little bit, but with my new biological treatment, I should be able to get back to being clear again.
Thank you for sharing, and we're so glad that you're here. So I was diagnosed at 18 months, and I did not have to go through the transition that you went through. When I got to college is when I really had the experience of really grappling with my diagnosis. And so you guys have said there have been ups and downs, trying a lot of different medicines, and then learning how to grow into that responsibility that we have when we make that transition from high school into college and beyond. So I'm super excited to hear what you guys have to say. And so while you were in high school, when did you first decide what you wanted to do after graduation, and what factors influenced your decision? Zoe, let's hear from you first.
Yeah, so for me, my decision originally was like staying home. All my doctors, my dermatologist, rheumatologist, everybody is local. So always thought, I'm just going to stay at my local university. I'm studying international relations. And like, so when I was in high school, I was like, all right, they offer international relations. I'll stay home. Like, I'll stay local. This is what I want to do. That's what I did. But I realized I shouldn't have limited myself to stay home because of my health, you know? And so I actually decided to do a year ago a switch and transfer out of state. It was a very scary transition, thinking health-wise, all my doctors, but also exciting because I was like, I want to go out of state. I didn't really want to stay home. I was just doing the safe option health-wise because I graduated around the pandemic. My psoriasis wasn't the best. I was like, I should stay home so I can get the proper treatment, especially because I was on a biologic, so injections. I was thinking everything, you know? But I did that switch for myself, and I'm so happy that I did that switch. I did find the right doctors. I worked with my doctors back home so that I could do that switch and be in Boston, where I'm at now, at Boston University, in a school that I love, in an environment that I love, while still focusing on my health. So it's been a great transition. Bit of a journey, though.
Oh, for sure. I'm so glad to hear that you've made that transition and that you're really happy with that. Mandy, why don't we go to you next?
Okay. So for me, I feel like the debating about my career has definitely been a major part of my life ever since middle school, especially when I was applying to go to high school. I went to a high school that specialized in biomedical and engineering pathways. So it was a good sweet spot for what I wanted to do. When I initially went to this high school, I wanted to come out applying as an engineering major. And for the first year, we had a feel of both the biomedical engineering pathways. And after taking both of those classes, I found out that I liked the biomedical field a lot more. And also, given my circumstances of having a psoriasis diagnosis, it kind of developed my passion for the medical industry. So I wanted to be able to come and help those people with certain skin conditions, or just in general, helping people with their certain diseases or any injuries.
I love that. That's awesome. Emmy, let's go to you.
So I am a college basketball player. So I play women's basketball at DePaul University in Greencastle, Indiana. So I'm currently a sophomore here at DePaul. Whenever I was in high school, it was always a dream for me to play college basketball. I grew up doing everything I basically could to in hopes of becoming a college basketball player. So throughout my time in high school, whenever my psoriasis was at its worst and I was transitioning from biologic treatment to biologic treatment, that dream never wavered, although challenging. I remember writing my college essay about my psoriasis and about the nicknames that I had been given in regards to having psoriatic disease and just my journey of overcoming a lot of the different adversities whether it be symptoms from my biologic treatments, mental health related issues, like Mandy mentioned earlier, in regards to having psoriatic disease, and overall just my journey of having psoriatic disease. It gave me the resilience to continue my dream of playing college basketball. So I am super lucky to have the opportunity to play for DePaul Women's Basketball. It's one of the biggest things that I do in my life, and it's one of the most gratifying things I also get to do, is to be able to live out my dreams, albeit the adversity I've had to face in regards to psoriatic disease. So in looking for a college, I wanted somewhere where I could academically flourish, be able to play college basketball, and balance all the things that means being a student athlete. So I continue to be involved with NPF. I'm on the executive board for my sorority. I'm a tour guide. I work in DePaul's counseling services office as a mental health peer educator to raise awareness for mental health services on campus. I get to do everything that I've always wanted to do. And I found that place at DePaul. And I'm overly full of gratitude often about the university that I get to be at. And I feel equipped to do all of these different things because of the resilience I've learned because of psoriatic disease. Although it's the hardest thing that I've had to go through in my life, and it's a continuous battle, I know that it's made me stronger and it has shaped the person that I am today. So that's a lot about my after graduation plans. And then beyond this, I do plan to attend law school after I graduate from undergrad. Unlike Mandy, my experience with psoriatic disease has absolutely hidden me from the medical field. I want nothing to do with it. I've had enough doctors for a lifetime. No, thank you. So I'm going the exact opposite route, and I'm super happy with it. And I hope to work in some kind of health policy where I will continue my involvement with the National Psoriasis Foundation beyond graduation.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. I went to Texas A&M, which is 2 hours away from my hometown. I didn't make that choice because of my psoriatic disease, but it did make it very convenient when I had to drive home to do infusions and worry about doctors and stuff, because I know that definitely factors into moving your place of residence. So, Emmy, were you worried about making this transition from high school and home to being on your own at college? You've spoken about how you were excited and you found a home at your university, but was there anything you were worried about before this transition? And what has proved to be the most difficult issue for you now that you're in college about managing your psoriasis?
Yes. So I actually relate to you a lot, Kaylee. My university is about 2 hours and 15 minutes from my hometown. My mom actually still gives me my injections. So I go home, I meet her halfway to get my injection every 8 weeks, because her and I have that kind of special relationship that psoriatic disease has kind of given us, because she's taken me to all my doctor's appointments, and I couldn't imagine having to give myself my injection. So we continue to do that. And that's how we've kind of worked out the transition from high school in regards to the biologic treatment that I'm on currently. But in general, I was really worried about making the transition from high school to college. I felt like after my senior year, I had accomplished all that I wanted to in high school. I was ready to move on. I had won a state championship in basketball. I graduated first in my high school class. So I was ready. I did everything that I wanted to do. But the second I actually had to be on my own, it was more difficult than I could have imagined, because I didn't have that safety net and the support system that I had always known. So I feel like all college students can relate to that, that take that leap whenever you truly are on your own for the first time. And it's difficult, no matter if you have psoriatic disease or not. It's a very difficult process to be a part of. But the most difficult thing I would say in regards to having psoriatic disease was communicating that to others. In my hometown, I was very vocal about having psoriasis, and I spoke on a lot of different platforms about it. But coming to college, it was a completely new environment. I didn't really know anybody, and I had to re-communicate that all over again when making new friends, when learning how to live with a roommate, and whenever I came into a completely different basketball team that I had ever known, full of women from all across the country. So I would say that the communication piece was the hardest for me, along with managing stress of classes and being on your own to do your treatments, like your topicals and things on your own. So communicating what you need to your professors, communicating what you need from your friends and your roommates, and communicating your story can be really hard in such a vulnerable state. So I would say that those were the most difficult things about transitioning from high school to college.
So how about you? I've heard that you had quite the move in a short time frame from Florida to Massachusetts. So what was that like for you? And did that change or impact your psoriasis?
So for me, I transferred last spring. So about a year ago, almost a year and a half ago, I found out that I was accepted to Boston University mid-December. And I had to be in Massachusetts like 3 weeks later.
Wow.
And so I was like, all in my head, mom, pack my suitcases. We're going to Massachusetts. That was the only thing in my mind at that moment. I was like, we're getting on a plane. We're moving. How? I don't know. And we just did that. So in that moment, I really was just thinking about getting here. We were like, we'll figure it out. At that time, I was on a biologic. So if I fly home once a month, every 4 weeks to get my injections, I'll do that. I was not sure about finding a doctor. I had that trust and that safety net with my doctors and like everybody taking care of me at home that I was like, I can't just switch. I've been with my doctors for a long time. They know me. They know what I like, what I don't like when it comes to my health. And so for my first semester, I was flying home every 4 weeks so that my mom could put my injection. Don't mail them over here. I don't know who's going to do it. I'll go home. And so for my first semester, my transitional, I was doing that. I was going back home. But then as I was living here, I was like, that's not the most realistic option. I can't be spending money flying home to Florida every few weeks. And so last summer was when I need to base my health around, if I want to keep the doctors that I have at home, which I trust and they've been a part of my life, my psoriatic journey forever, I need to find something that'll work for me as well as being in Massachusetts. And so we decided to switch from a biologic to an oral medication just because pills are easier to manage, send to the pharmacy, and it's something that works for my body. So we're like, let's try it over the summer. The summer was my experimental period because I knew I was at home. I could do that, any transition, any changes to my health. And so I was able to do that. So now when I move back in fall, I was able to get my pills in the mail. And we also decided, realistically, if I have a doctor's appointment, I can't be going so often back to Florida. So I was fortunate enough that my dermatologist works with dermatologists in other states. And so he's like, I know someone. I recommend you this person. He's close to where you live. So you can be in contact with him while also being in contact with me. So I'm very fortunate to be able to still keep my dermatologist at home. I can call, I can text him, I can let him know I'm having a flare-up. And he can be like, okay, go to the one in Massachusetts, go to the dermatologist over here. I'll be in contact with him, see what he says, and we can find something that works for you. Because I'm someone that I like my appointments to be very patient-led. I'm very vocal about what I like, what I don't like. This hurts, I'm not going to take it. This makes me feel gross, I'm not going to take it. And so being able to have that in Boston, and also when I do go home, I still have him there. I'm super fortunate to have the resources in both places for wherever I'm at. My first transitional semester was a little crazy, a little adventurous, you know, but then calming down, transitioning, and finding something that works. I am still on this oral medication, about to be a year. And so I'm super fortunate that that change worked out for the better.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm glad you found an oral medication that makes it easy. And it's really cool that you have two doctors working in tandem to help you. So Mandy, I would like to hear from you now. How do you handle your health care? And were there any changes that you had to make to take responsibility for your own health care as you made this transition?
Yeah, I think the interesting thing for me was the transition for high school to college was when I turned 17 to 18. So that was when I officially became an adult. My mom was pretty much like my main person to be able to take control of all of my medications. She knew everything, like insurance, any personal information. I would always redirect everything to her because she knew everything. When I turned 18, there was this shift since I became an adult where a lot of the pharmacies would usually reject my mom from helping me for my medications because since I'm an adult, I'm supposed to be able to manage my own medications. So that was a hurdle that I actually had to deal with before coming to this podcast. That was something that pivoted me to adulthood in a way, being able to take care and getting more independence in my own healthcare. So being able to not rely on my mom all the time. Even though I live relatively near to campus, I ended up dorming for my first year just so I can be able to gain some independence on just certain life skills. So another thing that was a big struggle for me was taking care of my own physical health. So I noticed I go out a lot during fall quarter of my first year, and I got sick a lot, like every 3 weeks. And that was during midterm season. That was really rough for me because I was trying to stay up late at night, trying to remember all the material. But at the same time, I'm just getting really sick and having headaches. So that was one of the main like things that I had to overcome and one of my main obstacles. So it was a lot of taking medications just to be able to study and complete my examinations. I definitely changed a lot of lifestyle habits for me to be able to take care of my physical health so I wouldn't have to go visit the doctor every single time and go back home to just get medications. So
thank you. Yeah, you know, it's easy to forget sometimes, okay, I gotta study, I gotta do all this stuff, my schedule is packed, I'm in 1,000 different things, or just adjusting to that college schedule and that college life. None of us got the amount of sleep that we needed to. And so remembering that, especially as someone who has chronic health conditions, is so important. And I'm glad to hear that you found what works for you and made those changes. And so for my next question, this is for all of you. Have you accessed health services on campus? And if you have, do you have any tips to help make using campus health services easier? Emmy, let's start with you.
Yes. So with campus health services, the first thing that comes to mind is like our DePauw Health urgent care facility. And I will say, similarly to Mandy, especially my first year of college, the sickness and having an immune condition caught up to me quicker than I could have imagined. I've had COVID twice since coming to college. I just ended up familiarizing myself with a lot of the people at DePauw Health during my first year because I would continually be there. But I think I have a little bit of a different addition to health services on campus because of what I do with DePauw Counseling Services. So to reiterate, I am a mental health peer educator at DePauw. So there's 10 of us across campus, and we basically work to raise awareness for DePauw Counseling and the services that they offer, gauge the mental health stigmas and issues going on around campus, and we work all of DePauw Counseling Services events. So with that, I have been able to immerse myself in kind of the counseling services setting, and DePauw Counseling is actually free for all of our students. So you can access counseling and emergency mental health crisis hours at no cost. And that's kind of the work that I do, is to get that message across as well. But being able to access counseling services on campus really, really helped make my transition easier. And it also worked to help me find my voice even more so I can do things like be on this podcast and share my story at MPF's events. Many of us who deal with psoriatic disease have also dealt with mental health issues. And I think that it's not talked about enough, because I know during my junior year of high school, I was checked out. I was done. I did not want to be here anymore. I did not want to go to school. I didn't want to go to basketball. I didn't want to do anything. I did not want to exist my junior year of high school. And thinking back to the point that I was at then versus the work that I've put in for my mental health and using all of the different resources that I have now, it's astounding the difference that that kind of stuff makes. So with health services in going into college, I always encourage people to also look at their university's counseling services department, because not only do people with psoriatic disease have to deal with that, but there's mental health issues that come with it. It makes your transition harder. So making sure that you know and engage in the available resources for you is so vastly important.
Thank you so much for sharing about mental health. I'm so glad you said that, because I think anyone can benefit from using mental health services on campus or in their own personal life, no matter who you are. But I think the college transition is especially difficult, right? There's a lot of change. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. Mandy, why don't we go to you? Have you accessed any health services on campus, and do you have any tips to make using those campus health services easier?
So for me in particular, I haven't accessed the official health services that are on campus, but I'd say the ones that I've have taken advantage of is student support. I don't know if that's categorized in a way as health services. So for UCI specifically, they have a lot of resources for certain ethnic groups and have certain areas where you can socialize with people. And another area that I in particular have used is the Student Center. And one of the interesting things about the Student Center is that we have free massage chair appointments that we can use for a good half hour. And I've gone to those and those are really nice. So if I just need some time to relax and just get a massage, I'll go over there to the Student Center. And it helped a lot, especially for me since I go to the gym a lot. Using those massage chairs helps my body a lot. So those are the main things that I take advantage of in my campus, but not necessarily any health services.
Well, I don't know about y'all. I'm really jealous that you can just go get a massage. I wish I could do that. Thank you for sharing that. And so, Zoe, have you accessed any health services on campus? And do you have any tips if you use those services?
Yes, I have used student health services. Unfortunately, unlike Mandy's school, mine does not have massage chairs. I wish they did, though. But I've used it. Like everyone mentioned, we're immunocompromised. We get sick often. And especially moving to Massachusetts, I was not used to the cold. I moved in January, right? Winter, snow, and I was not prepared. I'm such a Florida girl. I did not have what I needed to survive in the snow. And so I got sick quite often. But luckily, I was able to use student health services on campus. I was able to get some checkups, some medications I needed, very quick and simple to go to. My university, we can make appointments online. They even have virtual appointments. I didn't even need to leave my apartment, do it straight from my apartment. So it's super easy to use. So I really do take advantage of those when I'm feeling a little cold. I also do use mental health services on campus. Being a college student, it is hard to manage school, personal lives, psoriasis. And so I get stressed out a lot. Getting stressed with school makes me flare up. Being flared up makes me more stressed. You know, it's a little chain reaction. So I am lucky to have those resources on campus to help manage my stress and make sure I'm doing A-okay.
Thank you. You and Emmy both said the start of that first semester, you're on campus with everybody. It's so easy to get sick a lot. And so all three of you have been saying, being mindful of yourself, your mental health, your physical health, and just taking that extra care to make sure you're doing what you can to take care of yourself. What has come up in these life changes and transition that maybe was unexpected, that you didn't think could happen or you were surprised by, and how did you deal with it? And so Mandy, we'll go ahead and start with you.
Okay, so I definitely have a lot of unexpected stuff that I experienced coming into college. And I think one of the biggest things I had was my drastic change in study habits. Because at school, a lot of topics came very easy to me. And when I walked into college, I came in with the same mindset I had in high school, where I just kind of absorbed the information and didn't really study further. And when I took my first midterm, it didn't end that well. So I definitely had to invest a lot of time and effort into studying. And in return, that kind of set my psoriasis off balance. It's a big thing that I had to balance coming into college, my physical health and also my academics. So that was one of the things that I had to overcome. And then another thing I had was a lot of college students, I think, experience this a lot. I think it's FOMO. FOMO is a big thing that I experience a lot in college because I have a big social network that I use CI over the past couple of months. And especially since I'm a nursing major compared to a lot of my bio friends, I definitely had to spend a lot of extra time studying. And that was a big thing that made my mental health go down a little bit because some of them would be done studying and doing their homework while I'm still in my room studying for a midterm that I have to do. So that was a big thing that kind of set my psoriasis off balance a little bit during my transition from high school to college. But towards my spring quarter, I'm managing it pretty well now. And then another thing I also kind of discussed a little bit earlier was physical health changes with the accumulation of all the stress and also the FOMO. I definitely say that I unfortunately did experience freshman 15 because of the dining hall, because my dining hall does have unlimited swipes. So I always go down and grab a little snack or maybe eat a lot. So those were some of the things that I experienced throughout my first year.
Thank you for sharing. It's very easy, like you said, you're so focused on your academics that it can make it easier to start neglecting those other areas of care. And I'm glad that you kind of navigated that transition and are in a better place. And I'm so glad that you mentioned learning how to study and how to do that for college instead of high school, because I think that's something probably every college student would deal with, is learning how to navigate academics, their new schedule where you're not in class all day, but then you got to remember all the study time as well. So I'm glad you mentioned that. So we'll go to you next.
So for me, just moving to Massachusetts was a different type of situation that I didn't expect to be so stressful. I think in my head, I was like, yeah, it's going to be quick. I'm going to be able to do this. I was just like playing it off a little. And so when I did, it was just a very different stressful situation. Moving out from home for the first time, being on my own, trying to navigate a new type of school. First at a local college, now I'm at a big university. So all these transitions that just come with moving out and going to a new college was very stressful and actually impacted my psoriasis differently. I was used to my flare-ups being like plaque psoriasis, but I actually developed inverse psoriasis. So my symptoms were very different to manage. I was not expecting that. And so in that moment for me was realizing like, okay, I need to focus on myself, on my health, on my psoriasis. So focus on the move, on the school, education, and everything that I put my health aside. I was like, okay, let's get back on track with that. You know, that's when I started realizing I need to manage that, you know, topicals, managing my stress, making sure that I am balancing both school, living, like social life, as well as my health. I never realized psoriasis can appear on your body in so many different ways at any time. I think that was my wake up call. Don't get too comfortable. I manage my psoriasis, or I manage school. But balancing all of it was something for me that I was like, okay, I need to realize that and like put that together and focus on all of it together.
Thank you for sharing that. And so let's go to Emmy.
I had a really positive experience in the change in my psoriatic disease when I moved away to college, which isn't always what happens, but the way that the trajectory of my treatment was going, I had been on a biologic that I'm still currently on today for a couple months moving away to college. We were nervous that it wasn't going to work. I hadn't really seen many results in the couple months that I had been on it. And I was really worried that I was going to have to go through another transition while I was in college. And that would have been really difficult to access my dermatologist back home while being away and trying to switch treatments and everything. However, over the course of my time in college, my symptoms have only gotten better. They started a little bit bad just because like I still hadn't gotten used to the injection that I had been taking. But as time went on, this injection just started working for me. So I would say, honestly, the most unexpected thing that happened to me wasn't in regards to school or the changing in anything else in my life. It was with my psoriatic disease, which I'm incredibly grateful for because I'm really on my way to being pretty clear. I still have plaques. I still have flares. It still happens. And I have learned how to manage it independently. But one thing that I want to mention in regards to all the body image conversations that happen with psoriasis is it was most unexpected for me to feel confident in my own skin during a transitional period of my life that was moving away to college. So with that, the discourse around body image with psoriatic disease also goes untouched. And especially for young women, I feel like it's necessary to continue those conversations surrounding body image and how people with psoriatic disease often have to be okay with their body looking differently from day to day, week to week, month to month, and year to year. And we just get used to that. We get used to our bodies constantly changing, constantly having different plaques, different places in our bodies. Like it's insane to me the amount of changes that we have to go through as people. So the most unexpected thing for me moving away to college was that my symptoms improved rather than got worse, and that my body finally feels back on track. And I think it's important to shed light on that.
I'm so glad you said that, and I appreciate how all three of you mentioned there are difficult things happening and things that come up as part of the transition into college. And I'm really glad that all three of y'all mentioned being able to figure out what works for you. Because I think that's something that can sometimes feel very, very daunting. And especially at a time when there's a lot of transition and there's a lot of figuring out what you need to do to take care of yourself. And so this is the question I'm sure everybody wants to talk about, wants to hear about. How do you approach dating, relationships, and psoriasis? You can also talk about relationships that aren't necessarily dating, right? Could be classmates, roommates, friends, things like that. How do y'all approach these types of new relationships as someone who has psoriasis?
I can start. So relationships as a broad term are all new when you move away to college. When making new friends, I found it difficult to be vulnerable at first. I would mention having psoriatic disease and whenever they would notice it in my scalp or something like that. But it was never me telling the full story because I wasn't fully comfortable in my environment yet. But once I got there, that's what mended me a lot to the relationships that I have today. Like, people say college is where you find your lifelong friends. And it is really true because I know they're my lifelong friends because they support me most through my endeavors with NPF. Whenever I have a flare, they know how to help me manage my mental health as well. So I feel bonded to people who understand, or at least try to understand, my struggle with psoriatic disease. Growing up and becoming more of a young adult, it's helpful to realize what real friendships are and what they're not. For dating and romantic relationships, I am in a relationship on campus, and I will say having a partner who is open is the most important thing, because when your partner is open and receptive to your health, to what you've been through, to your story, and the things that we do for the National Psoriasis Foundation, it's just another indicator that you're with somebody who is good for you. If they don't appreciate the things that you do for a foundation that serves people internationally, that's not somebody you should be interested in romantically pursuing. So I'm lucky enough to have a partner who gives all of their effort to understand where I'm coming from, who admires all of the adversity that I've faced, and who continues to kind of be an example for what that healthy relationship should look like. And in college, I don't think we often realize that we are young adults. Like, I still feel like a kid a lot of the time, just because I'm running around doing all the fun things that I get to do. But a lot of the relationships, romantic friendships, roommates, everything included, are relationships that will last beyond just our undergraduate degrees. And I know that my people are my people because they accept and embrace me for this part of my identity.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I love especially how you talked about if someone isn't willing to make the effort to understand as best they can, you probably shouldn't be with them anyway. The relationships that you form in college and in life in general, you want them to be with people that support you and are willing to help you and are willing to try and understand, even if they aren't going through the same thing that you are. Mandy, how about we go to you next?
I definitely agree with Emmy about the lifelong friends thing. For me, I have come across a lot of people at UCI, but a lot of my friends, I'd say, are very willing to listen about my psoriasis journey. And also, I think I came into college just being overall very nervous about meeting a whole new group of people that could potentially just make fun of me just because I had psoriasis. And they point out my certain plaques or stuff in my scalp or even my legs. But I was pleasantly surprised to find that I didn't necessarily encounter that in college, which I'd say I'm very fortunate about. Yeah, I'm definitely happy with all the friends that I've made and how they're supportive and willing to listen about my psoriasis journey. And for example, I'm recording in their room right now, and the ones that gave me this mic, they are all very receptive and know about my psoriasis journey. So, and they never treated me different because of my psoriasis, and they're very open to learning about the actual disease. Honestly, I never had any particular issues with it in terms of my relationships, which I'm very, very happy about. In terms of dating, haven't really dabbled in the college dating experience yet, but I definitely say, like with Emmy, I think for relationships, I definitely want them to be open, like my friends, about my psoriasis disease. And if they're not willing to be able to listen about my certain condition and being able to just help me along with my journey, that's definitely a major red flag, in my opinion. So yeah, that's a tip for everyone listening.
Yeah, I'm so glad you shared that. Y'all are exactly right. No matter what type of relationship it is, if someone's not willing to sit with you and to support you and to listen, we shouldn't be trying to hang out with them anyway. All right, so why don't we go to you?
So for me, relationships, I think that because I've had psoriasis for so long that I'm super vocal about it. I've been with MPF since 2015. So I'm someone, if you go on my social media, there's going to be posts about my psoriasis, my flare-ups, about my events, about everything. So it's a part of my life. Psoriasis will come up in a conversation. So for me, it's super important that my friends are willing to hear about it or that they're open. I think the openness is the main important part for me. If you're just willing to hear about it or you're willing just to be accepting of me having it. Just because I have psoriasis, I can still go out. I can still have fun. I can still be part of the group. We can still do normal things. I don't want people to think that because I have psoriasis, it's this big label on myself that, oh, she can't do that. Oh, she can't be a part of that. So just being open with that, like, yeah, I have psoriasis, but that's not going to stop me. Yeah, I can still go out. We can still do this. We can still do that. I think that's super important when it comes to relationships, friendships. I am in a relationship and I'm very fortunate that the person I'm with, that he's super open, accepting. If I have a flare, he's not going to say anything. Like if I have it on my scalp, oh, you have some scales on your shoulder. He's open about it. He's okay with it. And that's super important for me, that he makes me feel confident. When I'm insecure, I'm like, oh, like I got a flare, you know, but he still makes me feel confident. Not that I am not confident on my own, but that boost of confidence through a partner, through friendships, through any type of relationship is something that's so important to me. And those are the type of friends and people that I want in my life.
Thank you for sharing. I think all of you have said some really great things just about, you want to surround yourself with people who care about you and who are going to support you with this, but also not treat you super different because of it. And so we've mentioned roommates a little bit, but here's the question. Do you think someone should tell their roommates about their psoriasis up front? And how do you communicate your needs? Mandy, why don't we start with you?
So my personal motto, I'd say, is transparency and communication with my roommates. I definitely see that as an absolute must. My current roommates and I, we're pretty close, and they're aware of my health conditions that I have because I told them straight up about my psoriasis diagnosis. My roommates have also had their fair share of other skin conditions not related to psoriasis, but acne and eczema, stuff like that. So they have an understanding of like the work you have to put in to be able to take care of your skin. When I told them about my psoriasis, they didn't really judge me or anything for it because it was something that they also had their own experience with as well. So for me, I'd say like, if you are comfortable with explaining your skin condition to your roommates, I definitely don't see any problem with it. Like just being able to say, hey, I have psoriasis. This is a thing that I have. And honestly, if you tell them straight up, if some people have like a really bad reaction to it, that's also a red flag for being paired to be a roommate with that person. Because if you tell them I have psoriasis and they're like, oh, that's weird, then that would just be immediately like, I don't want to room with you. You're not being open about my personal diseases that I have. Is that the right way to say it? Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really good tip because it can feel awkward or hard to advocate for yourself. But like you said, if you are potentially sharing a room for a whole school year with someone who's not even willing to treat you with the respect or the basic care that you just as a human would want from a roommate, then yeah, that can be a good sign of, hey, maybe I need to talk to RA, maybe I need to figure out how to deal with this. Because you want to at least get along. You know, you don't have to be best friends, but you want to at least have a decent relationship that way. Emmy, how about we go to you next?
So my freshman year, I was in a regular double occupancy room and I did not know my roommate coming in. We were in communication going into our first year together over the summer, figuring out who's getting the mini fridge, who's getting the microwave, that kind of thing. And I did tell her up front, like, hey, I have this skin disease called psoriasis. Here's what it looks like. Here's what I have to do. And honestly, the reason that I told her so early was because whenever I sit down places, sometimes I leave flakes. Like, it happens sometimes. And it's not gross. It's not weird. It just takes a little bit more cleanliness and paying attention to it whenever I leave some flakes behind. So I didn't want her to be alarmed about it when we first got to campus. I wanted to avoid any negative reaction. She was super open to it. It was fine. I was upfront about it. And I would recommend that if you are comfortable with telling your roommates that you do, because it's one of those things where if they can better understand you and you can practice communicating with them, it just helps them in the long run. But another interesting situation with roommates that I get to experience on my campus is I actually live in my sorority house. So I live with 56 other girls in a giant 100-year-old, it's a mansion, it's huge. So I live in a very different living situation than I did last year, and I will continue to live there until I graduate. I room with two of my sorority sisters, and communicating to them about my psoriatic disease was easier because I'm very open about it. In our chapter meetings, I'll talk about different things that I'm doing with NPF. I had an event in October in Indianapolis that a lot of my sorority sisters actually donated to. So being open with them, not only as my sorority sisters, but as roommates too, has made it easier to continue communicating with people about psoriatic disease. But in conclusion, yes, I would recommend that if you're comfortable talking about it, tell your roommates, because it practices good communication and transparency, as Mandy said. But I appreciate the rooming situation that I get to live in now, because it makes it a lot easier to know that I'm not just living in a dorm, I'm living with a support system as well.
Thank you for sharing, especially because I've been there too, where you get up from the chair and snow has fallen down on this chair inside the building. Pretty much everyone who has psoriasis has had that happen. And like you said, it's just something to take care of. You don't need to be embarrassed by it. Like you've been saying, just being upfront can be the way to go. So how about you?
So I agree with Emmy and Mandy, just being upfront about it, being honest with them. It's not that you have to make a big deal out of it, like, hey, I have psoriasis, I need everybody to know. But just mention, hey, I have psoriasis. If you're going to be putting on your creams, they're going to see you putting on your creams. In my living situation, I live in an apartment with one other person. And so we share a bathroom, share a shower. I have scalp psoriasis. They're going to see my shampoos, different treatments, oils, and all that type of stuff. So just them knowing what this is for, you're also helping educate them. They probably don't know everything that goes into the day-to-day of having it. So just kind of being like, oh yeah, like I have to use shampoos, I have to use topicals, and you're going to be living with this person. It's just a better way of getting to know someone.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned it doesn't have to be a big deal. Mandy, so what are some of the things that you do to help maintain a healthy lifestyle on campus? How do you try to make healthy choices?
So as I mentioned earlier, I did experience the freshman 15, sadly. I did have an unhealthy relationship with the dining hall. One of the biggest points of advice for me and just like anyone in general for a college dining hall is to make use of your dining hall wisely. It's very tempting to get all the burgers, the fries, the pizza, the everything. But there are certain areas in my dining hall specifically where there are very nutritious foods that you can eat and it will be really fulfilling for you. And I started taking track of those habits last quarter, and I'm definitely reinforcing it this quarter. I'm planning on cutting down a little bit on eating, so getting ready for the summer. So I have been trying to eat like a lot of more protein, and then when I'm done with my main course, I grab a little bit of fruit and then be on my way. So I definitely say for everyone, make use of your dining hall wisely, make good choices, make healthy choices.
So how about you?
Yeah, so for me, I live on campus in an apartment. So I have my own kitchen and everything that I can cook for myself. And it is easy in college. You want to make something quick, get some frozen food, you know. But I think having a healthy lifestyle is important when you have psoriasis. Making healthy choices, depending what you eat, what you're putting in your body is how your body is going to react to it. So that is something that I've had to learn as I started eating healthy, making better choices, that my psoriasis actually does improve compared to when I do eat out or fast food. I still will treat myself here and there, you know, eating some fast food or getting some ice cream, but also just a healthy lifestyle of going to the gym or going for a walk, stuff like that helps with psoriasis, helps with stress, managing your life. I am getting into fitness. I am running the New York City Marathon for MPF in November. I'm not a runner, but I am taking that up and making those choices. I'm more aware, more conscious of what I'm eating, putting in my body for my stress, for my health. It also helps just in general, having a good lifestyle, you know, for your day-to-day life. Like Mandy said, healthy choices for living.
Thank you for sharing and good luck with the marathon. My goodness. Emmy, we'll go to you.
So for me, my healthy lifestyle looks a little bit different because I am on an athletics team for my college. So I stay rigorously active throughout the year. I'm on a pretty strict schedule with weightlifting, practices, conditioning. I'm constantly having to do something like a scheduled fitness-related activity, constant basketball training, all that kind of stuff. So it's a big time commitment for me, which I hope that I'm reaching somebody and talking about this, that it can create a little bit of bad relations between you and fitness. Like for me, basketball has always been an outlet to where whenever I go to basketball practice, I don't think about anything else. I'm there, I'm focused, I'm locked in. That's all I'm doing. However, the only thing that can creep into my mind then is my psoriatic disease because of the physical pain that it inflicts on me. So whenever I work out, I sweat. It's natural. That's how that works. And it burns very often. Like a lot of the open plaques, the sweat gets in there and that does not feel good. And it's something that I forget often. And then I'll be working out. I'm like, dang, my armpits hurt. My scalp hurts. Something's going on. And I realize over and over again, every single time, that it's my psoriatic disease. So I think in regards to living a healthy lifestyle is trying your best to maintain a good relationship with fitness. Because like Zoe said, it's important to maintain that relationship with fitness and to be able to lead a healthy lifestyle to benefit your psoriatic disease in the long run. However, it's also important to recognize how difficult that can be whenever you're in constant physical pain, trying to keep up with whatever fitness journey you're on. So trying to find that balance can be difficult regardless of if you're a college athlete or if you're going on a walk in the park. There's a very fine line between a good and bad relationship with your health and with your fitness. So maintaining an awareness of that, regardless of what kind of physical activity you're engaging in, is really important.
So glad you shared that. I mean, all three of y'all have said it's about finding what works for you and remembering that it's important because the food you eat, the physical activity you do, your mental health, managing stress, all of that affects your psoriasis in some way. And I'm also glad, Emmy, that you mentioned that sometimes your illness can be a barrier to that. Those who have psoriatic arthritis and the joint pain that comes with that, that can also be a barrier into being physical and doing any sort of activity. And so, like you've been saying, it's about trying your best to figure out what you can do to benefit yourself. Taking care of yourself in the now is really crucial to get credit for. So sometimes finding the time to take care of yourself in that way can be hard, but like you have also been saying, it's important to try. And so this next question, you are all youth ambassadors with NPF. I would love to hear, what is the youth ambassador program and what does this role mean to you? And so Emmy, since you are the lead youth ambassador, let's start with you.
First of all, being able to hear those words that I'm the lead youth ambassador is still crazy to me because it just fills me with such gratitude that I can give back to the program that has given so much to me. So I joined the youth ambassador program in April of 2021, going on 3 years now, which is insane. At that point in my life, I was really looking for a community of people that I could relate to. And my parents did a bunch of research trying to figure out if I needed a support group, if I needed something locally. And we landed on an application to be a youth ambassador. And I just thought I got a really cool picture on the website at first. Like, I was just really excited to be a part of something. But whenever I started actually engaging with all the resources that the foundation has to offer and all the unique individuals that the program has, that's whenever I started realizing how rewarding it is to be a part of such an incredible group of people. We have over 20 members nationally, ranging from preteens to people in their late college years, that share their stories bravely and boldly at national level events. You have youth talking about the hardest things that they've ever been through in front of hundreds of people at a time for the purpose of bettering those who come after us. And on the premise of the program itself, we're all strengthened by each other's stories, and we're all strengthened by having the voices to share our own. The foundation has given me all of the opportunities in the world to become a better public speaker, to learn how to navigate relationships and friendships with psoriatic disease, but also to feel accepted and to feel heard by people who really understand what's going on in my day-to-day life. So the program has given me so much, and I intend to give so much back to it. And I know that we're all constantly surrounded by people who care about each other and are looking forward to furthering the mission of NPF. I'm incredibly grateful to be a part of it, and I'm incredibly grateful to be able to talk with all of you in the first place.
Thank you so much. Zoe, let's go to you next.
So I've been a part of the Youth Ambassador Program since 2015. That's a long time. And I have done a lot of events since I've been Youth Ambassador. And, you know, for me, my favorite part is the event. I take action events. It's so nice to be going to these events, meeting people that relate to you. You relate to each other. We all have our own stories. We all have our own journeys. But coming together in such an accepting community through these events, through MPF, I've met so many people, so many stories, that it just helps my confidence. I'm able to hear other people relate to me. I'm not alone. And being a youth ambassador, I've been able to share my story. I've been able to go to these events, speak at these events, and being able to move one person, being able to impact one person, that person might be newly diagnosed. And knowing that my story makes them feel that they're not alone, because I was once in that place. I remember going to my first event when I was first diagnosed and realizing the impact that MPF had on me. And I was like, I want to be a part of this. I want to be able to share my story, impact others. And so seeing myself now, I do events in my hometown in Florida. I do events in New York. So being able to be part of all these different events is so rewarding. And I'm so grateful to be a part. Meeting other youth ambassadors, everybody has their own story. And able to share is so rewarding. And I'm so grateful to be a part. And I will continue to be a part of MPF and the Youth Ambassador Program. I'm super grateful.
Thank you so much. Mandy, how about you?
So I found NPF through a very interesting way, actually. So for my capstone project for my senior year, me and my group of friends helped someone with Tourette's syndrome, and we designed like an engineering fidget toy to be able to help her calm down her level of tics when she's studying in classes. Her service dog is really big, so it was very difficult for her to be able to just take her dog everywhere she goes. That was like a hurdle that she voiced out to us. So we decided to come and engineer a project for her. And she discussed to us initially about how she was a youth ambassador for Tourette's syndrome. And since I had psoriasis, I wanted to be able to do the same thing and be able to meet with people who had a similar disease as me. And that's where I stumbled upon NPF 2 years ago. So I didn't find out through NPF directly, but through the person I did my capstone project with. That was a funny little accident. But for me, even though I'd say like out of everyone here, I'm kind of like a newbie when it comes to NPF, since it's almost my second year here being a youth ambassador, I definitely feel so much of the love and support NPF has given. And especially with my first event at Santa Monica, being able to speak in front of a lot of people, which was initially very intimidating, but it became really fulfilling for me, especially being able to meet and talk with a lot of people who have the same disease as me. And yeah, that was really fun to have. And especially with all the other youth ambassadors that I've got to meet through virtual meetings, I definitely consider them as role models to be able to improve myself and also show that just because I have psoriasis doesn't mean it will hinder me from being able to do something.
Thank you so much for sharing that. So for me, why I volunteer with NPF is for the reasons that y'all are youth ambassadors. It's being able to give back to an organization that has given you something and to also know that you're not alone. NPF was there for my parents when I was first diagnosed, and then it's been there for me. So I'm so grateful and so honored to get to be a part of NPF. And I'm so excited for all the work that the Youth Ambassador Program does specifically. It's about building awareness, sharing your story, and finding that support for others, but also getting that support for yourself. And so I just want to thank you all sincerely for being here today. It has been such a privilege to get to talk to y'all about how life could change after high school. It's been so wonderful to hear the wisdom that you all have shared and the vulnerability that you have had to share parts of your life and your story. And the tips that you provided today will help other teenagers facing similar challenges. And so I would just like to ask, do any of y'all have any final comments you would like to share with our listeners?
One thing that I always share whenever I'm able to talk on any kind of NPF platform is that being different is beautiful. That's a continuous motto that I say over and over again, because I know a lot of us haven't felt beautiful in our own skin. But the fact that we stand out from most of our peers through the adversity that we faced makes us more intrinsically and externally beautiful than we could know. And with this episode being about transitions, I also want to remind anybody that's listening, if you have psoriatic disease, you've encountered a huge life transition and you are equipped to go to college, to join the workforce, to do things beyond the normal that you know, because you've already had to do that with a diagnosis of psoriatic disease. You've already had to do that with changing medications and transitioning from one medication being injected into your body to something orally you take every day. Those are transitions that are extreme in life. And we often, with psoriatic disease, face them early on. And I think it's important that we remind ourselves of how the adversity that we've faced has shaped us over the course of our lives.
Given the time period that this was recorded, especially for our high school listeners that are possibly seniors that are currently getting their acceptances to college, my psoriasis during this time was definitely at its worst because college decisions were so stressful. And I want to say that if on the off chance you do not get into your dream school, I definitely say that rejection is redirection, and there is always a place for you to be able to thrive in the community that you were accepted into. So I just wanted to be able to say that to specifically the high schoolers that are watching this podcast.
I just wanted to say, as mentioned, this is a topic on transition, specifically transitioning into college. I was someone that focused on my health. I put my health first and I chose the safe option. And I want listeners to know that they don't have to choose the safe option. Already with our psoriasis journey, we do take a lot of risks, risks in medications, risks in our day-to-day lives. And so I think that it's important that we take that risk when it comes to transitioning into college, whether that is going to college, whether that is getting a job, whatever that may be, that future plan, getting out of high school. I think that that's just super important to take that risk, go into that journey. And like it says, it is a transition. We are going to struggle, but we always come out from it. Same thing with psoriasis. Our psoriasis does get better. We do have the ups. And so I think just looking in that perspective, in that way, is super important.
Thank you so much for sharing. I mean, it's truly been such a pleasure to speak with you all. I have been inspired. And even though it's been a few years since I've gone through the transition that we've talked about, like all of you have said, life's a transition and there's always ways to overcome what you're going through. And so for anyone listening to this, if you are going through this specific transition of high school to college or college to the workforce or moving somewhere new, getting a new job, whatever might happen, you can handle it, you can do it, and you can thrive. thank you, Emmy, Zoe, and Mandy, for being such an inspiration to other teens and young adults. We appreciate all that you do, and we are so grateful for the leadership and guidance that you offer other teens with psoriasis and for volunteering to support the National Psoriasis Foundation.
Hello, this is Audrey Riggs here, Volunteer Services Manager at the National Psoriasis Foundation. April 21st through the 27th is National Volunteer Appreciation Week. During this time, the National Psoriasis Foundation honors our outstanding volunteers, such as our youth ambassadors, Emmy, Zoe, and Mandy. We are so grateful to them and our many volunteers who give their time and talents to mentor, raise awareness and funds, advocate for policy change, serve on advisory committees, participate in educational activities, and serve as our board members. On behalf of the NPF, we sincerely appreciate all who support our mission. If you'd like to join us and become a volunteer, please visit psoriasis.org/volunteer. And finally, thank you to our sponsor, Bristol Myers Squibb, who provided support on behalf of this Soundbites episode.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Soundbites for people with psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. If you or someone you love has ever struggled with psoriatic disease, our hope is that through this series, you'll gain information to help you lead a healthier life and inspire you to look to the future. Please join us in a couple weeks for another inspiring podcast. You can find this or all future episodes of Soundbites on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Gaana, Google Play, and the National Psoriasis Foundation webpage. To learn more about this topic or others, please visit psoriasis.org or contact us with your questions or comments by email at podcast@psoriasis.org.